The Census Bureau is making another change to how it asks about race in the U.S. This time, it's affecting Caucasians. Those who mark the box for white on the 2020 census will be asked to give more information about what that means, about their background. NPR's Hansi Lo Wang explains.
For more than a half century, just answering white has been enough to complete the race question on the census. But in 2020, the Census Bureau says it's going to go deeper and ask non-Hispanic white people to write in their origins. Here are the instructions from a questionnaire the Bureau is testing for 2020.
Print, for example, German, Irish, English, Italian, Lebanese, Egyptian, etc. Okay, that's interesting.
That was Cindy Spector of Brooklyn, New York. She says she checked off the white box on the last census in 2010. But now that the federal government is planning to essentially ask white people where they're really from, Spector says she's not sure what to put down.
Where's your family from?
How far back? Milwaukee, Wisconsin.
And before that?
Oh, before that, according to my grandparents, were Russian and Romanian, but I don't know prior their parents and their grandparents, etc., where they're from.
It's a conundrum that many people marking the census box for Black or African American may have to face, too. They'll also be asked to write in their origins. The Census Bureau did not respond to NPR's questions about why these specific changes were made. But the Bureau has said previously that it's received requests for, quote, more detailed disaggregated data for our diverse American experiences. And asking about origins on the census is not new, but questions about ancestry have been presented separately from the race question, which may seem like a minor technical detail. But for Peter Farnsworth of Brooklyn, this change gets into personal territory.
Don't make me specify what kind of white. If you want to know my race, that's fine, but I don't need to give you details about what kind of white I identify with.
Farnsworth says he identifies as American, though his family has ties with England, Scotland, Ireland, and...
Nobody ever believes me when I say this, but my dad's side of the family has lived in Jamaica for hundreds of years.
Hundreds of years?
Yeah.
Elizabeth Grasso, also from Brooklyn, says her ancestors came from Germany and Italy, and being asked to give a more detailed answer about her white identity brings back stories she's heard about her Italian grandparents.
There was discrimination against them when they were younger that I'm very lucky to not experience now, but there was a time when Italians weren't considered white.
At a recent luncheon for seniors at the New York Irish Center, though, many said they support the 2020 census asking white people about their origins, including Martina Malloy of Queens.
I always consider myself Irish first and American second, which may not be the right thing to say in this country, but that's how I feel.
Malloy helps serve slices of pizza to seniors lined up in front of a wall of historical memorabilia, including an old sign that said, "Help wanted, no Irish need apply." While Malloy is sure about her ancestry, not everyone knows their family history that well. That's why Charles Gallagher, a sociologist at LaSalle University in Philadelphia who studies white identity, says any 2020 census numbers about white origins may not be reliable.
If you have a population that's been in the United States for a very long time and people have been, crossing the ethnic line and dating and marrying, people aren't going to have a real accurate record.
And he says if you're thinking about mailing out your DNA for testing, beware. So far, the results are not a reliable guide, he says, for how to fill out your census form accurately. Hansi Lo Wang, NPR News, New York.
And now to the U.S. Census coming up in 2020. There were plans to add a new category to the forms for people of Middle Eastern or North African descent, but the U.S. Census Bureau has decided against it. NPR's Hansi Lo Wang reports on the reaction.
Nasim al-Kubadi left Yemen as a young girl with her family 15 years ago. And after they settled in New York City, she noticed that when you fill out an official form here in the U.S., there always seemed to be a question about race and ethnicity.
Everywhere you can see it when you go to a doctor or schools, you always get this option.
And al-Kubadi says she wasn't sure which checkbox is for her.
Honestly, it was hard for me to pick. I was like, oh my God, what should I put? Should I put Asian or...
Other? Al-Kubadi says because Yemen is on the continent of Asia, she settled on Asian. And when she can on form, she writes in Arab. But she says on the 2020 census, she would have liked to mark a box for Middle Eastern or North African.
It should be there. because they had many nationalities, so why is not there? It's unbelievable.
Mohammed Barakat is disappointed by the Census Bureau's decision, too. He works at the Arab American Family Support Center based in Brooklyn and remembers grappling with the race question as a first grader.
My parents came here from Palestine. They didn't really know English, and so whenever there was paperwork, I had to do it.
And on one of those forms,
I remember seeing white, and then in parentheses, anyone from the Middle East or North Africa.
Which are the regions, along with Europe, that the U.S. government defines as white. But Barakat was perplexed. He went to school and asked the teacher if he could answer Asian.
And she's like, well, if you want to put Asian, go ahead, but I think you should put white. And so I went around asking other teachers, and they all said, you're white, you're white. And I'm like, but look at me.
Barakat says he doesn't look white. And he's culturally not white. But sometimes he marks white if he sees the Middle East and North Africa listed next to it. Or he looks for a box for others so he can write in Arab. This makeshift way of answering surveys means that information about people with roots in the Middle East or North Africa is often hidden within data about other groups.
The fight right now is to say the category should be there because it will arrive at a better count.
Maya Berry is the executive director of the Arab American Institute, which is trying to get support in Congress to overturn the Census Bureau's decision. But she admits the timing of this push is not ideal, following President Trump's travel bans against countries such as Iran, Libya, Syria, and Yemen. Many in the Middle Eastern and North African communities in the U.S. worry about giving the federal government more personal information.
That's the burden that our communities had to bear, trying to make a determination about, do you advocate for the inclusion of a category or not?
Berry says getting a Middle Eastern or North African checkbox onto the census is one fight, and getting people to fill it out is another. Anzila Wong, NPR News, New York.
NPR's learned that the contracting process for a printer for the 2020 census forms violated the government publishing office's rules and procedures. NPR's Hanzi-Lo Wang reports a selected printing company has filed for bankruptcy and lost the census contract.
The government publishing office's single largest contract is to print forms for the 2020 census. The printing company Sinveo won the $61 million contract in October through a botched process. That's according to a report obtained by NPR and written by the GPO's Office of the Inspector General. GPO officials failed to check if Sinveo had enough resources to complete the job. They also allowed the company to lower its bid by almost $9 million after other bids had been unsealed. Former Inspector General Michael Rapponi wrote that the GPO, quote, did not do an adequate job of protecting the interests of the government. The agency is now planning to look for a new printer with less than 2 years before the 2020 census starts. Anzila Wong, NPR News, New York.
Here in Washington, the Supreme Court is weighing in on lawsuits over the citizenship question that was added by the Trump administration to the 2020 census. The court is expected to rule soon on whether a cabinet secretary and a senior official can be questioned under oath in those cases. Now, all of this has led to a new discovery about a former Trump official who pushed for the citizenship question. NPR's Hanzi-Lo Wang reports.
Steve Bannon, the former chief strategist at the White House, was involved in an early discussion about adding a citizenship question that Commerce Secretary Wilbur Ross said he just remembered. That's according to a court document filed by the Trump administration. That sudden recall backtracks on congressional testimony by Ross, who oversees the Census Bureau.
We have had a request, as everyone is aware, from the Department of Justice to add a citizenship question.
Ross testified at a hearing in March, just days before he approved that request for the 2020 census.
You mentioned that you had not seen the email that the Trump campaign sent out.
Congresswoman Grace Meng, a Democrat from New York, asked Ross about the citizenship question.
Has the president or anyone in the White House discussed with you or anyone on your team about adding this citizenship question?
I'm not aware of any such.
Ross may not have been aware then, but he says he now recalls discussing the issue with former White House advisor Steve Bannon.
We have to make sure that the American people know they were being misled.
In a written statement, the Commerce Department says Ross meant to say that he and the White House had not discussed a Trump campaign email about the question. Here's Congresswoman Grace Meng again.
Oh, I definitely was lied to.
It's not a surprise. We know that the White House has been lying about this from the start.
Steve Choi leads the New York Immigration Coalition. The group is suing to get the citizenship question removed.
The citizenship question really has always had one motive, to scare immigrant communities from participating.
The administration says the Justice Department needs the question to better enforce the Voting Rights Act. NPR's review of more than 12,000 pages of court documents calls into question that assertion. This week, the Commerce Department Inspector General's office said it's considering starting an investigation about the citizenship question. Anzila Wong, NPR News, New York.
A trial begins today that may determine whether a controversial new question will stay on the 2020 census. The question is as follows, quote, is this person a citizen of the United States? Six lawsuits have been filed in an effort to get the question removed, and the first trial starts today in New York City. No matter which side wins, the issue will likely reach the U.S. Supreme Court. NPR national correspondent Hanzila Wang has been covering these lawsuits, and I spoke with him earlier.
Good morning, Rachel.
All right, first off, there will be people out there who say, wait, isn't the entire point of the U.S. Census to count the number of U.S. citizens? So can you explain that and why this particular question is such a big deal?
The census is a headcount of both U.S. citizens and non-citizens. You know, who is counted is not based on citizenship status. It's based on who is living in the country.
Just people, anyone.
Exactly. Anyone who is considered to be living in the country. And so asking about citizenship status, that is a sensitive question for a lot of people. And the concern here is that it will lead to a bad count, inaccurate information being collected. And that's backed up by research from the Census Bureau that shows that a lot of people are scared of this question, that some people think that this question, the real purpose of it, they think, is for the government to locate undocumented immigrants. And that's going to make the Census Bureau's job very, very hard. They need to count everyone once and where they live. And you know, it's not just their job, it's a constitutional requirement.
And so the concern, just to draw that out, is that people wouldn't report. They would be afraid that they would be deported as a result, and so the census would be off.
That's the concern, that sending out census workers to follow up with those households will not be enough to make sure that we have an accurate count and accurate information in 2020.
So what do we know about the reasons that this question was added? Was it about trying to figure out who is in this country illegally?
That's one of the main questions in this lawsuit. In March, when they announced this question, they said it was for the Voting Rights Act, better enforcement of the Voting Rights Act. The Justice Department, they said, needs more detailed citizenship data to better enforce protections against racial discrimination. But just last night, I saw a court filing of testimony from the head of the Civil Rights Division, John Gore. He testified that this question is not necessary. We also know that there was an alternative to adding a question that the Census Bureau said would provide more accurate data, would cost less money, but the Trump administration wanted to avoid that alternative, and they ultimately decided to push this question onto the census.
So this has triggered all kinds of lawsuits, the first starting today. What is the argument against this? I mean, what are groups really concerned about here?
They're really concerned that if you have an inaccurate count, you have inaccurate information, that's going to have profound implications across the country over the next decade. The census is only taken once every 10 years, and these numbers directly impact how many congressional seats and electoral college votes each state gets. An estimated $800 billion a year in federal tax dollars is also on the line, and that money goes directly to fund local schools, relief for hurricanes and wildfires, and fixing your local roads.
And I imagine there's some urgency here because it takes a lot of money and time to put together a census.
Exactly. This trial is only expected to last 10 days, but we're not sure exactly when the judge will issue his ruling in this case in New York. There are two other cases in California, two other cases in Maryland. Ultimately, all these rulings are going to be appealed to the Supreme Court, and it's unclear exactly when the Supreme Court will rule. They have until June, but forms for the census are scheduled to be printed starting in May.
All right. NPR's Hanzila Wang, thanks so much. We appreciate it.
You're welcome.
In the meantime, NPR's Hanzila Wang reports the Government Accountability Office warns the Census Bureau is behind on its preparations for the upcoming national headcount.
The report focuses on some of the largest projects related to the 2020 census, creating a list of addresses of every U.S. household and sending door knockers to visit people who don't respond to the census. Chris Mim is the managing director for strategic issues at the GAO, which has been reviewing the Census Bureau for decades.
They've got to count a population of over 300 million people. That creates an enormous challenge for them.
Mims says the Census Bureau still needs to work on estimating costs for parts of the 2020 census and document plans for responding to what-if scenarios.
Take, for example, that you have a natural disaster right around Census Day.
The Commerce Department, which oversees the census, says it agrees with the GAO's report's findings. Anzi Luong, NPR News, New York.
Today on Capitol Hill, Alabama's state attorney general took lawmaker questions about a state lawsuit against the Census Bureau. NPR's Hansi Lo Wong reports the state of Alabama is trying to stop unauthorized immigrants from being included in census numbers used to reapportion congressional seats.
Alabama's Attorney General Steve Marshall says he's worried that his state will lose political power after the 2020 census. Shifts in the next population count could result in Alabama losing one of its 7 seats in the House of Representatives. The U.S. Constitution requires a headcount of all persons every 10 years. Marshall says one of the key questions in Alabama's lawsuit is who counts as a person.
We believe that we will establish and we will present evidence to the court that, in fact, the Constitution considered it to simply be those who are in this country lawfully.
All people in the U.S., regardless of immigration status, have been included in the census since the first one in 1790. A spokesman for the Commerce Department, which oversees the census, declined to comment to NPR on this case. Anzi Luong, NPR News, Washington.
There's a legal battle growing over a controversial new question on the 2020 census. It asks, is this person a citizen of the United States? A ruling in one of the lawsuits over the question is expected soon from a federal judge in New York. Critics of the question have been speaking out for months, including a group of U.S. citizens of Japanese ancestry. NPR's Hansi Lo Wong has their story.
Eileen Okada was 5 years old when the U.S. government forced her and her family to live in a stall made for horses.
I remember the stench. They cleaned it out, of course, but didn't scrub it down. The smell was still there.
This was in 1942. Months after this attack upended life for families like Okada's.
We interrupt this program to bring you a special news bulletin. The Japanese have attacked Pearl Harbor, Hawaii, by air, President Roosevelt has just announced.
The U.S. government responded in part by allowing confidential Census Bureau data identifying individual Japanese Americans to be released to other federal agencies during World War II. The Census Bureau also provided information about where Japanese Americans lived. That information was not confidential and was used to round up around 120,000 people of Japanese descent, mainly U.S. citizens. They were wrongfully locked up at fairgrounds, racetracks, and eventually remote prison camps.
I remember asking my mother why we were here. She simply said, because we're Japanese. I remember thinking it was not good to be Japanese, and I carried that for a long time.
It was a kind of experience that was also part of the childhood of former Commerce Secretary Norman Mineta. He remembers asking his older brother to explain posters he saw in their neighborhood about what the government called the evacuation of all persons of Japanese ancestry, quote, both alien and non-alien.
You know, I said, what's non-alien? And he said, that's you. My own government, the government of the United States of America, wouldn't call me a citizen.
The federal government has formally apologized for actions that it said were motivated by racial prejudice and wartime hysteria. But Mineta says he and other survivors still worry that confidential census information could be misused again. That's why Mineta, Eileen Okada, and her two sisters joined a friend of the court brief for the citizenship question lawsuits in New York. The Trump administration insists the question was added to the 2020 census to better protect the voting rights of racial minorities. But Mineta says he's concerned asking about citizenship on the census was intended to scare immigrants.
One of the things it does is intimidate people. All I could think of was what it was like for evacuees to be facing a census and whether or not that information could be used.
NPR has reached out to the Commerce Department, which oversees the Census Bureau, and to the Justice Department, which is representing the administration in the citizenship question lawsuits. Both declined to comment on the friend of the court brief. But during a recent speech, Commerce Secretary Wilbur Ross addressed the confidentiality issue. He stressed there is long-standing federal law that prohibits the Census Bureau from releasing information identifying individuals until 72 years after the data are collected.
By law, the census is strictly confidential. Strictly confidential.
But Sharon Sakamoto, one of Eileen Okada's sisters, remembers this has not always been the case.
Sakamoto was born inside a prison camp in Idaho after the government forced her family to leave Seattle.
I keep wanting the words justice for all to work.
After her family was released, Sakamoto says her parents continued to raise her and her siblings to respect their country and their government.
Just because we say justice for all, I have to still look at how we're functioning and how we're acting. I think we have to be watchful.
Sakamoto says she'll be watching to see what happens to the citizenship question. It's an issue the Supreme Court is expected to take on in the new year. Anzi Luong, NPR News.